John 10. We'll read the first 18 verses. It is especially verses 11 through 18 that we look at in connection with our consideration of Lord's Day 15 this morning. John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth his sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Thus far we read God's Word. On the basis of this passage of Scripture and many other passages of Scripture, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 15. Lord's Day 15, questions 37 through 39. There the Catechism asks, What dost thou understand by the words, He suffered? That He, all the time that He lived on earth, but especially at the end of His life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. That so by His passion, as the only propitiatory sacrifice, He might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Why did He suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That He, being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Is there anything more in His being crucified than if He had died some other death? Yes, there is. For thereby I am assured that He took on Him the curse which lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God. The truth that we consider this morning is the truth that Jesus Christ suffered to save those who were lost. Jesus Christ suffered a suffering that we cannot comprehend, yet a suffering that we believe that He went through for us. This truth is expressed in John 10 when it says that the Good Shepherd laid down His life for the sheep. And notice the emphasis on that as well in John 10. It's not just stated once. It's stated four times. First of all, in verse 11, that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Then again in verse 15, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then again in verse 17, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And then also verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. In John 10, Jesus reveals to us His work, His chief work, with the rich imagery of a shepherd and his sheep. A good shepherd makes sure that his sheep have everything that they need. A good shepherd makes sure that his sheep have good clean water. He makes sure that they are led into green pastures without any poisonous weeds that will kill them. He makes sure that the sheep have constant protection from their enemies. And He is the one, as the shepherd, who provides that protection. That's a beautiful picture of our Savior Jesus Christ and His chief work. The one who provides everything that we need spiritually is the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. But we take notice of this especially. That which we need our Good Shepherd to do is to lay down His life for us. To lay down His life for His sheep. That's the chief work of the Good Shepherd. That is how He takes care of us spiritually. He has paid the debt of our sins. And that is what He did on the cross of Calvary. And so that's our focus this morning as well. The Good Shepherd who laid down His life, suffering that which we deserved for our sins, so that we might have life. We consider that then using the theme this morning, the Savior who gave His life. We notice first of all that He gave His life to suffer. We have to look at what that suffering is. Secondly, that He gave His life for our salvation. And then finally, that we have the assurance then. There's a blessed assurance of that salvation. John 10, verse 11, which says that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, indicates there that Jesus Christ voluntarily suffered. When we consider the suffering of our Savior this morning, we must first notice that He suffered voluntarily. He suffered willingly. That's especially the focus of verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Jesus Himself expresses that very truth. And what an amazing truth that is. Because we see in this, first of all, an amazing self-abasement. Who can comprehend the magnitude of this self-abasement? And that ties in with what Lord's Day 14 was about. The wonder of the Incarnation. The Son of God, the great I Am, came at a great cost to Himself. He willingly and voluntarily chose to come into this world to suffer and to die on the cross. It was His choice to suffer for our sins. Now, of course, that was all according to the will of God. God had determined that. But Scripture makes very clear, right here and in many other places, that Jesus Christ willingly did this. He willingly laid down His life. He willingly came into this life to suffer. That stands in stark contrast to us. We have suffering in this life. But we don't choose to suffer. If we could, we would avoid all suffering. And certainly, we don't make any kind of decision ourselves to come into this world. No, that's the work of God. He brings us into this world, and He brings the suffering that comes upon us as well. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came into this world willingly and voluntarily according to God's will, knowing that He would suffer. So For the good shepherd gave himself willingly and deliberately to this suffering for our sins. He thought about it with great carefulness. He laid down his life deliberately. He gave his life for the sheep. That's the beautiful idea here. He put the life of the sheep above his own and considered that first. Now the idea here in John 10 verse 11, as well as that in giving his life, that's something that he did throughout his life. The idea is ongoing activity. That's the idea that you find in the Heidelberg Catechism as well, that his suffering, his voluntary suffering, was not just something that took place on the cross, but it was lifelong. That was true of Jesus too. It was lifelong. He voluntarily gave himself to that suffering throughout his life. Remember, Satan tried time after time to tempt Jesus to go away from that life of suffering and that life that would lead then to the cross. But willingly and deliberately, our Savior set himself on that course of suffering that led to the cross. He stayed that course of suffering and death. The question that we face then is why? Why did he stay the course? Why did he go through all of that suffering? Well, the answer of the Word of God is he did that because he loved his sheep. He loves his sheep. Now, of course, he did that because that was God's will and God gave him that work to do, but we look at it from this perspective this morning. He did that in his love for the sheep. A faithful shepherd always sticks with his sheep and defends his sheep and is even willing to die for his sheep. He never abandons his sheep. But when the enemy comes, he puts his life on the line for the sheep. That's what Jesus Christ did. And why did he do that? Because we are his precious possession. Because we are the sheep whom He loves. That's amazing. That's amazing because when we are compared to sheep, that is not a flattering comparison. Sheep are dumb. Sheep go astray. And that's true of us. We go astray in our sins. We don't deserve the love of God. In fact, we deserve His damnation. We deserve condemnation. But the point is that the Good Shepherd loves those who seem to be unlovable and really are unlovable of themselves because of the awfulness of their sin. And we're assured of that this morning. The Good Shepherd loves His sheep. And in that love for His sheep, He suffered voluntarily. He suffered the wrath of God. That's the heart of Jesus' suffering. When we think about Jesus' suffering, there are a lot of other things that we can say. We can talk about the injustice that was committed against Jesus Christ. He didn't deserve that which came from sinful men. He didn't deserve that awful trial. He didn't deserve that crown of thorns. He didn't deserve to be nailed to the cross. He didn't deserve all the mockery that came His way. He was and He is the Son of God. There's all different aspects to that suffering, but when it comes right down to it, what's the heart of the suffering of the Good Shepherd when He laid down His life? Well, He suffered the wrath of God. You and I cannot comprehend that suffering. We cannot say, because of some of the suffering that we have, oh, I understand what Jesus went through. We cannot. A woman cannot say, I've gone through childbirth. I know something of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Or a man who's had kidney stones cannot say, well, I know something of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Those who have gone through great loss themselves and have been mocked in the world for the things that they stand for, in the end, they really don't understand fully the suffering of Jesus Christ. even David and all the suffering that he had in his life was all but a picture of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Or Job and all of the suffering of his life. He didn't comprehend the suffering of Jesus Christ. And why is that? Well, because as children of God, we know all of the suffering and hardships of this life work for our good. It's for our salvation. But Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, He endured the wrath of God. He endured condemnation in full. That wrath of God is the hot burning of God's wrath against sin. It's the entire punishment that we deserve for our sins. This wrath of God that was on Jesus Christ is no different than the wrath that is on and will be on the wicked forever in hell. It's no different than that wrath. This wrath is our damnation. And this wrath is the holy response of God against sin. You see, God detests sin. Sin is against His very being, and that's because He is holy and He is righteous in Himself. So the wrath of God is His holy reaction to sin, which He hates because it is against His very being. That is what the Good Shepherd suffered. God's wrath. Now the Catechism points out that He was under that throughout His entire life. And that was true because when He came into this world, He came into this world as the sin bearer. He came into this world as our substitute. And so the wrath of God wasn't just on Him on the cross, but throughout His life as well, the wrath of God was upon Him. But the fullness of that wrath of God then was on Him there on the cross. And that's the importance and the significance of the cross. That cross which is an accursed death, as Galatians 3, verse 13 points out to us. There in that 3 hours of darkness, the fullness of God's wrath was poured out on Jesus Christ. So that He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" He experienced being forsaken of God. Him who was without sin, who is perfect Himself, who loved God perfectly, He had the fullness of God's wrath poured out on Him. That's His voluntary suffering. And that suffering was for our salvation. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, gave His life for the sheep as a propitiatory sacrifice, the Catechism says. Propitiatory. Which means that His sacrifice is vicarious. That means His sacrifice was a substitute. He came as our substitute for our salvation. Jesus Christ took upon Himself this wrath of God, taking upon Himself the punishment that we deserve for our sins so that they are covered. This work of Jesus Christ covers our sins. That's the idea of propitiation. What a beautiful idea that is. And that covering is not the covering of the sheet that covers the dishes this morning that we will use in a few moments for the sacrament. That's not the idea of covering. It's not to place something over top of it. But covering in the sense that He took the place. Like a shepherd who gets between the wolf and his sheep. That's what Jesus Christ did. He came between God and His wrath being poured out and His sheep, His people. And He took upon Himself all of that wrath of God in our place. And so He covered our sins. He covered our sins by paying the debt Himself. He covered our sins by satisfying the justice of God. He made payment in His love, in His perfect love and obedience to God. The substitutionary sacrifice of Christ on the cross is the only basis for the satisfaction of God's justice. The Good Shepherd has done this because this is the greatest danger facing the sheep. The greatest danger for us is our guilt and the punishment that we deserve for our sins. And our Good Shepherd, knowing how weak and frail we are and that we cannot satisfy the justice of God at all, He took our place. He bore our sin and guilt and died our death to cover our sins. That's the significance of the cross. That's what we need to know about the cross. We do not involve ourselves with all kinds of other questions about the cross. How tall was the cross? How exactly was Jesus nailed to that cross? How did all of that happen? We're not going to consider those things this morning. They may have their proper place, but not this morning. Here we understand that the cross was this. It was the accursed death. Jesus Christ was suspended between heaven and earth. And that's the idea of the cross. No place for Him here on this earth. And cursed of God as well. Between heaven and hell. Forsaken of the world and forsaken by God. That's the curse that He took upon Himself for the sheep. That we need to understand as well this morning. This is only for the sheep. John 10 makes that clear in verse 15. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And then verse 16 explains that more. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. It's speaking of the fact that there are sheep of Jesus Christ, not only among the Jews, but also among the Gentiles. But the point is that He laid down His life only for the sheep. Jesus goes on to say to those unbelieving Jews that they are not of the sheep. Read that later on in the chapter. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. What we have before us here in Lord's Day 15 and in John 10 as well and many other passages is that Jesus Christ laid down His life only for His people, not for all men. Now we might say, yeah, but what about the catechism? It says all mankind, doesn't it? What does that mean? Well, that does not refer to all men head for head, but it's speaking here of the elect race as an organism. Christ paid for the sins of the elect race of all of God's people from the beginning to the end of the world as they are found in the nations of the world. He has saved His one people. That one people who are described here in John 10 as the sheep. These are the ones whom He knows. And He knows them because the Father has given them to Him from all eternity. And the point is that Jesus died on the cross only for the elect, only for those whom God has chosen, and only then for those whom God has given to Him. By the way, when you need a passage to go to show and to prove this truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross only for His people, here's a passage to go to. When there are those who want to point out John 3, verse 16, here's a passage to help them understand what John 3, verse 16 means. He died only for His sheep. There are many other passages as well, but here's an important one for us. Jesus knows His sheep, and in His knowledge and His love for them, He paid for their sins on the cross. So that, as sheep, everything that we need for our salvation is given to us by the Good Shepherd. As we examined ourselves in this past week, we should have seen the reality of our straying. We should have seen the reality of our disobedience to God. In all aspects of our lives, when we sin, we sinned against God, and we sin often. That's true of sheep. They often go astray. And it's true of us spiritually as sheep. We often go astray. We often say in our heads, maybe not out loud, I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do this because it feels good. I'm going to do this because that's what I want. And we live selfishly and ignore what God has told us to do in His Word. But the Word of God to us this morning is that the Good Shepherd has given to us exactly what we need. And what we need is salvation. What we need is deliverance from our sins. Beloved, we have to understand that this morning. Do you see that as your greatest need? The world says, no, that's not your greatest need. Your greatest need is your appearance, the way you look, the figure that you have. Or if you have the right kind of sculpted body. The world says, no, what you need is a certain social status. What you need is to be somebody, and that's accomplished by focusing on the way that you look. That's accomplished by doing what you can to get ahead of everyone else. And if you don't meet these certain criteria of the society around us, then that's going to result in depression and being downcast. And here's the reason for depression being downcast. You're not like everybody else. You're not able to keep up with them. But we're reminded this morning, no, that which we need is deliverance from our sins. And that which we need is found alone in the work of the Good Shepherd. You see, His care for each and every one of us is perfect and complete. And there's no greater evidence of that than the cross of Jesus Christ. He's paid fully for all of our sins so that absolutely no punishment remains for us. And His care is perfect so that in the end you are brought home. He's the shepherd who brings His sheep safely home. And along the way, He cares for them every step of the way. And so this morning, we hear His voice. As sheep, we hear His voice. And this is what He says to us. I've paid for your sins. Every one of them. Every one of those sins that you saw in your self-examination this past week, and the many more that there are, Jesus says, I paid for them. I forgive you. I love you. And I'm taking you home. And so that's the wonderful assurance that we have this morning as well in this Word. We have the assurance that He took on Him the curse which lay on me. That's what the Catechism says. At the very end, question and answer 39. Is there anything more in His being crucified than if He had died some other death? Why this crucifixion? For thereby I am assured that He took on Him the curse which lay upon me. For the death of the cross was accursed of God. Because He laid down His life for us, we are saved. We are saved from the grave and hell. Because He took upon Himself our suffering, we are pardoned from our sin and we have peace with God. Because Jesus Christ is our Good Shepherd, we have perfect protection and security throughout our lives. So this morning, let us consider the suffering of Christ with believing hearts. Are you oppressed with the burden and the weight of your sins? When you examine yourself and when we consider what we considered last Sunday night, there will be a burden and weight of sin. Because in all of my sin, I have sinned against God, against the One who's given me so much, against the One who's revealed Himself to me, in all of His goodness and mercy and grace. I've sinned against Him. There's a great weight and burden in the knowledge of those sins. Do you know that weight and burden? Well, this morning, in our confession that He suffered, let us believe that He suffered for our sins. Let us believe that there is deliverance for us
in the cross of Jesus Christ. Let us believe that Christ has canceled our debts and paid for them in full. And let us believe that the curse of God has been removed. There is no curse of God for us. And then we remember as well that the sufferings of Christ are the ground for the fact that He is the fountain from which all blessings flow. That's pointed out as well in John 10 at the very end of verse 10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Beloved, the Good Shepherd has given to us not just life, but abundant life. And that's not an abundant life just to come. It's an abundant life that we have right now. His life. His resurrection life worked in our hearts. We have that life now by the wonder of regeneration. A spiritual life that makes us alive to serve Him and to know Him and to love Him. But also, we have the assurance then that our Good Shepherd is leading us in such a way that He's going to give to us the fullness of that life. And the fullness of that abundant life is everlasting life in heaven with Him. This is the only way to that life, through that suffering of Jesus Christ, His laying down His life. That's what we remember in the Lord's Supper this morning, isn't it? A picture of the communion that we have with Him, the life that we have with Him. And how do we have that life with Him? Only through the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to life. Not by anything we do, not by anything anybody else does. Only through the work of Jesus Christ in laying down His life. So our confession this morning is, what a Savior we have. What perfect care He bestows on us. Knowing Him in faith means that we know that in Him we lack absolutely nothing. We have this knowledge. He laid down His life for me. He cares for me perfectly. And He brings me to the everlasting pastures and the still waters of heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep and for the great joy that that gives to us this morning. He suffered and He died. And He took upon Himself in that suffering that which we deserve for our sins. Refresh us by that word, and now refresh us as well by our partaking of the sacrament this morning, that we might be assured of that again through that sacrament. Father, hear us and answer us in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.